get another recording going, and I'll go over a little bit more info, and then that will be posted for everybody. So bear with me, folks. So time, let's talk about time. I talked about the moon phases as a way to kind of generally keep workflow going and have a sense of what's going on around us. We are very tuned in to planetary energy, and the moon is obviously one that we can watch cross the sky. So we can walk outside and just take a look and see what's going on. If you don't take time to commune with Luna, then you ought to include that in part of your rituals, just because it's nice to get under her gaze. Reflectors can be chronically late. It's not uncommon for us to get totally wonked out about how long things take to do. I have a very skewed idea of how long it's going to take to do things. I've been a project manager, and I had like Gantt sheets and flow charts and stuff like that. And when I had that going on, I was awesome because I had something keeping me on track. And I could work really well with teams, but without something else, and without some kind of external structure and timeline, it's very hard for me to assess how long things take to do. So I have unrealistic expectations about what I can accomplish. That's not uncommon with reflectors. It's all that pressure to get things done. And one thing turns into 15. Go figure. We can also lose track of time on projects. We just lose track, and we go down a lot of rabbit holes because we get a new idea, and when we chase that for a while, and then oh gosh, there was the 40 minutes just disappeared, and I didn't do the one thing I said I was going to sit down and do. So having outside structure, deadlines, and specific tasks is one way for reflectors to kind of stay on track. Too easy for us to get lost in the fluid of time. So we also benefit from rituals, schedules, like routines that kind of get us through transitions, the day, how it starts, how it ends, how you move from one kind of work to another kind of work. Having some kind of a ritual helps us lock in the real time, chronological time. So if you have that particular issue, it's useful to have some kind of a thing like when I'm working on a really long project, I might do a little timer for like 33 minutes or something. And at the end of that thing, the timer goes off. It reminds me of what I'm focusing on. It also tells me that 33 minutes have passed and I can get up and I can walk around, get my coffee or water or just go check the mail or whatever that I have to do. And then come back and put another 33 minutes on it. But it helps me discharge the extra ideas and extra commotion that's going on when I'm working on a project, and it keeps me on track. I can get a lot of 33-minute segments back to back, and I get a lot done. And it keeps me from going down a rabbit hole because every 33 minutes I'm reminded of what it is I said I was going to do. So that's an outside controlling device. It's a coping mechanism for me. Structure is whatever you decided to needs to be. So if it needs to be a ritual, start, stop times, stand up, you know, turn around three times, spit in the wind. I don't care if you do something that is meaningful to you as a way of doing a transition, something that says I'm moving from one idea to the next. That can be good because we carry our residual energy with us when we're doing something or working with somebody. We have their energy, we're absorbing it, everything like that. Well, we need to discharge some of it so that we can get on to something different. And so you may need to have some kind of these transition rituals. We do not have inner authority, which is a challenge. We don't have a go-to place that says when I need to make a decision, or I can just say, check with my gut or wait for the invitation for projectors. We don't have that kind of inner authority that can tell us when we're on the right track. So one of the things that I've found helpful when I do readings for reflectors is I do their incarnation cross, which helps describe some of the more key personality traits and things that we were born to express, born to do, so that when things are showing up that are in alignment with those kinds of that mission, as it were, it's more likely that that's going to be a good choice, which is one of the things I was going to tell Patrick. Yeah, so Patrick needs to do that. We have to get that to him. We want him gainfully employed. It's no fun being broke. Trust me, I know that one. So, what was this? Incarnation. I am a chronic note taker because it's the only way I can keep all the ideas in my head in order. This decision-making strategy, we have to use those 28 days to talk to people. I started talking about setting up your sounding board of directors, and I need to set out that form, you guys. It's a way of setting up a group of people, a team of people that you can go to repeatedly who you know have consistent points of view, a consistent perspective. Typically, these are people with well-defined centers, often a good defined identity center, and hopefully a defined head or anja, both, because that gives them a really clear perspective that you can rely on as being consistent. You know that person's always going to come back to you with a really logical, rational kind of processing and ask you questions that have to do with logic. And if maybe they are the pragmatic person who says, well, what's the money going to do if you do this? What resources are you going to need if you do this? How are you going to feel? What are your relationships going to be impacted? So when you set up your sounding board of directors, you want to set up a handful, two, maybe three people, even more, that specialize or have consistent points of view and expertise even. It's just like going to a mentor. But what you're doing is you're talking to them about your idea. You're not getting their advice so much, or even they will give it. You can ask for it. And you can hear their ideas, and you may choose to follow their advice, but you're not under any obligation to do so, because that's not what you're doing with them. You're listening to yourself talk about this idea. When you first start doing this, take a little recorder on your iPhone or something like that. Record your conversation. Record yourself talking about this idea that you think is very, you know, better than sliced bread. Because at that moment in time you're talking about it, you're going to be revealing how you feel about it, what you actually think about it, and there's going to be an energetic vibe around it that is going to be consistent when you talk to multiple people. And that's going to tell you how you feel about it. Talking to other people about your idea is for you to get clear about how you feel about it. And tell them right off, you know, they can have ideas and says, I may not take any of your advice. Sandy, sorry about that. Well, you will have the recording. Oh, thank you, Annie. We'll talk soon. Sarah came on board. So glad you figured this out. We're going to archive. The next thing I want to talk about is... all those open centers that I talked to you about, and I reviewed all the kinds of pressure that we are under because of them being open. We can't stop that energy from coming in. We can't stop ourselves from amplifying it. What we can do is learn to discern what is ours and what is not. And again, I have a little paper I wrote up about that. But you guys are going to get all the stuff that I've been working on. You know, figuring it out, how to cope. It's critical that we learn when we are around certain kinds of people that we are picking up certain kinds of energy, and that's either good for us or not good for us. We have people who have energetic hooks that can grab us and suck us right into, codependent kind of copacetic relationships. We're automatically pulled in to respond to them in a certain way. We've maybe been conditioned to do so if they are like a long-term family member or something like that, or life partner, somebody you've been spending a lot of time with, even employees, bosses, co-workers, people you spend time with. You develop this emotional sub-language, subtext, and you can get pulled into their stuff really, really fast. So you can't filter it, but you can start to learn to recognize it. So there's a little exercise I'm going to send out there one of our biggest challenges is the fact that we want to be so nice. We will accommodate people beyond what is healthy for us. We take care of everybody else first. It's very difficult to prioritize our own needs because we're so empathetic and compassionate that we want to make other people feel better. But we need to remember, we are not here to take care of their feelings. We're here to reflect them. We do not necessarily need to own them or keep them. They are passing through us like wind through a screen door. The feelings and energy that people are throwing our way, that we're being influenced by, can go away really fast because of the open center doesn't hold on to it. So when you know that you're being jostled by energy around you, big crowds, for instance, going to restaurants, stuff like that, where there's lots of people, can be really overwhelming. When you're getting jostled by this stuff, all of this stuff, just let it go through. Imagine the screen door and it's just kind of winds blowing it right through. It doesn't have to stick to you at all, but you will feel it for the short term that it's around. So when you start learning that this stuff is passing, it's not going to last. It's easier for you to identify it when it's coming through you. I had a young gal who was traveling, and she loved to travel, but she was around people all the time. It was constantly being swept up into their energy and their emotions and their excitement, and it was exhausting for her. So that's an example where you're getting an influx of energy, mental energy, emotional energy, identity energy, fear energy, just plain pure adrenaline energy. You're getting this stuff just blasting through you, and you know it can be overwhelming. You can lose your sense of who you are completely. So when you are in that kind of environment, you can just say, okay, wow, I'm just awash with everything that's going on around me, and this too will pass. It will pass. If you need to exit, just leave, get away. You need to discharge energy periodically through the day when you're around people. You have to really make an effort to leave the vicinity and do something to blow out the energy. If it's physical energy, go take a brisk walk or run or go to the gym or something. But physical energy needs to be discharged or you can't sleep, which is one of the reasons, one of the things we recommend is that you try not to sleep with somebody if they're a generator especially, or have a defined cycle, because you won't get any rest. because they generate even when they are sleeping. It's just true. So that's about it for what I was going to cover for today. I want the reflectors, I want this group to serve a purpose. I want us to all kind of get on board, start understanding the nature that we have that's so unique. Once we start learning to identify what was going on for us internally, a lot of our own personal stuff will start to sort out. A lot of self-judgment should dissolve. A lot of uncertainty and lack of confidence should dissolve, because it's stuff that we've absorbed, or stories we've told ourselves based on some historical things that have happened to us that didn't work out. We have real issues around self-worth, a lot of us, and self-confidence, because we just don't know who the hell we are a lot of times. Very, very frustrating. So this group, I want you guys to understand what you got going for you. Get a handle on how you express it yourself. And then when you start getting control over what's yours and what isn't yours, you will become a very powerful reflector to the people in your community, because you will be doing it consciously. This is why we're here. We have wisdom. We have the ability to absorb the wisdom of the community. All that stuff that's being broadcast into you is informing you. You will be a tuning fork for your community. You're going to resonate with their vibration, and you're going to send that vibration out. Now, the thing about that is, if it's a healthy community, then you will be vibrating in a healthy way. If it's an unhealthy one, there's a tendency you will have to vibrate in an unhealthy way. However, because you will be conscious of this, you can consciously raise your vibration, and you can be tuning, you can be vibrating at a different level, which then is reflected out in the community and will impact them. You guys have the ability to affect your communities. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm trying to tell you this stuff. I could give readings and charge money for this stuff, but I don't care. You guys, reflectors, have to understand their nature and their gift. I mean, you volunteered to be here. So let's do what we came to do. I'm going to close this, and I'm going to archive these things, and I will tell you guys on the Facebook that we're going to archive it. And now that we've done it once or twice, we can understand a little bit more about how to make this be more spontaneous. Maybe for a while, we just kind of get together on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock my time. I hope this isn't a terrible time for you, but it works for me. Give me feedback on that. Thank you for sharing, Leslie. Good. Yes. So I will shut up. I'm just blurting stuff out now. bye. I will be in touch on the Facebook and with email. If you haven't given me your email addresses, please do, because I want to send links and stuff out to you. That is, social media is not my primary way of communicating, but it's a good way for us to connect. So bye for now. I'm going to stop my recording. Bye. Peace and blessings to you all.